Coming to you from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios, you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on WBQC LP Cincinnati 95.7 FM. WBQC LP, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. WBQCLP does not endorse any political campaign or candidates. The opinions expressed on Hemp Rock Radio do not reflect the views of WBQCLP, Media Bridges, its staff, or Board of Trustees. The opinions expressed reflect the views of Hemp Rock and our guests. Thanks for listening. Welcome, Hemp Rockers, to Radio Free Queen City and the Monday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress and joint hosts, the Burn Man, and featuring the Pottsbury Bakery and Hemp Rock Cafe on WBQC LP 95.7 FM, the voice of the Queen City.
WBQC.7 is online at WBQC.org. Hemp Rock is online at HempRock.com. The Hemp Rock Hemp Line is at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP.
To talk to us during the show, call 513-564-9600. That's 513-564-9600.
And now, here's Hemp Rock Radio with all things hemp, marijuana, the drug war, and more, including guests, music, news, food, and lots of fun here on 95.7 FM WVQC LP, low power to the people.
My blood make you run. Despite a decades-long drug war, billions of dollars spent, and millions of Americans locked up in prisons, drug use rates have remained relatively constant. Any economist will tell you that as long as there's demand, there will always be entrepreneurs with a supply ready to make a profit. When a drug dealer is busted, it's nothing more than a job opening for someone else to fill. This is Economics 101. Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy to help teach lawmakers the simple economics lesson. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out more information about SSDP, if there's a chapter at your school, or how to start one. It's time to join the growing opposition to our country's failed war on drugs and start an open, honest, and rational discussion of alternative solutions to our nation's drug problems.
Hi, I'm the Burn Man, and this is Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WBQC LP Cincinnati 95.7 FM and WBQC.org, the voice of the Queen City.
All right. That is, of course, the Burn Man, and I am the Happy Hemptress. It is Hemp Rock Radio here at WVQC LP 95.7 FM. And, of course, I am flying blind. Now, of course, what is going on is I cannot get a connection here at our studios for the internet and lost my browser. So I'm going to try to do this from memory. We'll see how good a pot smoker is with memory on how many different things I had open. I've got about 10 minutes or so to talk to you before we move forward into the next segment. And but the Burn Man's out there rolling somewhere around in the 420 appliance repair vehicle. He may or may not show up today, but that just means he's not feeling too bad if he's out and about. So I want to give you an update on that. The Burn Man, if you know, is sick, and we are trying to make him well. We aren't doctors. He's not. But there are some alternative things out there that folks talk about, and that's some of the things that he is doing to try to heal himself from stomach, esophagus, and lymph node cancer. And so far, 6 weeks in with cannabis oil and oxygen drops. Look up oxygen drops. Look up Dr. Otto, who got Nobel Peace Prizes for teaching the world that cancer can't survive in an alkalized and high oxygenated blood and cells. Look it up, folks. I didn't make it up. Not saying it works, but a lot of people do. Also, he's using juicing. The three main vegetables and things that somebody with stomach cancer needs to juice and drink on a regular basis is potatoes, red beets, and carrots. Now, I didn't make it up. I found it myself, the information, looking it up, and that's what we've got him doing. That and hemp milk, because just regular old hemp seed is high protein and really, really good for you. So that's what's up with the Burn Man. The last he said was that he's a tiny bit better. He just feels overall a little better. Stomach's still painful when he eats, things like that. He's still having major issues. But from what he started out with, the week that Gatewood Galbraith passed away, was going to the hospital, bleeding out of the stomach and things like that. So we will keep a running tab on what is going on with our very own Hemp Rock TV's Burn Man and his health. Now, Mima Susan, she will be back with us tomorrow. Of course, she is our Mrs. Dope Boy, or the Dope Girl. She got back last week, and I will tell you what happened. But in the meantime, she came home with pneumonia. And as of speaking to her yesterday, she's feeling much better and she'll be joining us tomorrow. I don't know what the recipe is during the Hemp Rock Cafe and the Pottsbury Bakery segment, but I can assure you it will be good. But our condolences go out to Susan and her family. They lost her grandmother last week. Matter of fact, it's a couple of weeks ago now. She called in on the Tuesday show 2 weeks ago, the week before last week's break for President's Day. And she did the segment for the cafe and the bakery. And 1 hour later, her grandmother passed after the show, actually about 20 minutes after the show was over. And so our condolences for Susan and her family. And I've met her mother, So condolences to mom for her mom. And that is from Hemp Rock and me personally. Anyway, I want to tell you, of course, we're gearing up. I know that it was not last because we're still in February, but the beginning of the month, I believe February 2nd, was Bob Marley's birthday. We are still celebrating it this Friday, of course, at Mad Frog here in the Clifton UC campus area. It is Cincinnati's 12th annual Bob Marley One Love Birthday Tribute and Reggae Festival. This is being put on by Leah. You can find Leah Soho in Facebook and just look up the Cincinnati's 12th annual Bob Marley Fest Tribute, and you'll find all the information out, and I'll try to see if she can join us tomorrow. I'm not sure, but we just want to give a shout out to her, let her know that we support Bob and everything Bob. And so the kickoff song today was, not only, you know, it's kind of a three-way thing because it's the Bob Marley Fest this coming Friday here, but also because we celebrate revolution here, and also, of course, because our special guest today is the dreadlocked Ed Fortune, otherwise known as NJ Weedman. He'd like to be .com, so we're just going to call him NJWeedman.com because that's what we like to call him. But Bob has the dread. So does Ed. And anyway, that's the stoner moment there for a second. Anyway, so Ed will be joining us in about 10 minutes. And, you know, he's got a lot of stories to tell. And if you've missed any of them anywhere out there, he has been on our show numerous times, including way back in the 90s. I can't find part of that interview, though, so we can't run it, unfortunately. But he's been on the show numerous times, especially in the last year with all the stories coming about his case coming up in New Jersey. He's lost cases to be the real NJWeedman.com. He has other cases in New Jersey that we've talked about. And the next one is when he got arrested for a pound he brought from the legal California, allegedly legal California. That's what California likes to say until the feds come in. But he got popped with a 1 pound driving into New Jersey, into his hometown area, sometime a while back. And the case is still pending and coming up. And what Ed's going to do is going to take a cross-country tour. Let me get that R in there. Cross-country tour from California to New Jersey. Kicks it off about March 20th. And we'll be taking I-70 all the way out to Jersey. So if anybody out there is on I-70 and wants to spend the day with Ed, let him know. He'll stop. He'll sign books. He'll do all sorts of stuff, along with promoting legalization and his case. And that will be in the Weedmobile. And he will probably be here around the 27th, 28th, give or take, at the end of March, live here in the studio. He's going to do a little bit southern detour from I-70 down 75 to Cincinnati and join us here. So stay tuned for that. Anyway, he is our guest today in just a few minutes, and we'll get the full scoop from him. But if you want the information, of course, you can go to njweedman.com. You can also go to my Facebook page, Hemp Rock, and get the links there as well. But, you know, there are a lot of other things going on, so I'm going to just tell you. We got a lot of stuff happening. I also have forgotten a couple of weeks, and you may or may not have heard about it. There's all kinds of stuff out there about the Republican debates and the blah, blah, blah. But I just want to remind everybody, if you support the Green Party, Roseanne Barr has put her hat in for the Green Party. And, of course, she has to get the nomination, so she will be seeking that. And her platform, of course, is legalization. That's one thing, of cannabis. And lots of other things. I know she supports macadamia nuts. She's living in Hawaii now. And although they're legal, a lot of people don't know the health benefits of it. So I know that that's one thing that she, in her book, she talks about. But she is pretty liberal. She supports Occupy as well as we do here. And lots of other really great progressive issues. So if you want to vote green, well, that's who you'd want to vote for. Of course, now I support Ron Paul. I support Gary Johnson. My winning ticket, folks, because as the Republicans want it, Ron Paul's probably not going to get that nomination. As much as we'd love for him to do that, I don't see that happening for various reasons, because, of course, they are the repubes. But if that happens, I would like to see him jump on Gary. Yeah. the former governor of New Mexico. And be on the Libertarian ticket with Gary Johnson. There you go. I remembered. Anyway, lots of other things. Let's see if I can remember my browser because I cannot get a connection here in the studio. But I will tell you this, tomorrow, now they're somewhere tonight because I don't have it in front of me. I don't remember what city they're in tonight. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, I do. I even posted it, folks. You can go to my Hemp Rock Facebook and check out the link for, of course, the British Pink Floyd show. They are in Akron tonight. I actually remembered. So you Akronians up there on the northern end of Ohio or people next to them in the Cleveland area or wherever you are, even Lodi, the Ohio Normal Group's up there, so they should try to get up there. It is, of course, tonight in Akron with Britt Floyd. Tomorrow, Toledo, and Leap Day is Detroit. So they've got a lot of tours or a lot of shows here on the U.S. leg of the tour, and they'll even be swinging back around in our area again in March. And I plan to be at some of these shows. So if you are into Pink Floyd like me, you need to know that that is the band that you probably want to see. There's other ones out there. I'll see who they used to be with. They're still fantastic. And lots of other ones. I know that there was a an act here in Cincinnati over the weekend on Saturday at the Aronoff. I missed it. They are the Classic Albums Live show. And they did Dark Side of the Moon here. I hope that went well for them. They are on hiatus now for a couple of weeks. We hope to get Craig, the leader of that band. They don't just do Pink Floyd, folks. They do all kinds of other albums. From the Beatles to the Doors to Jimmy to Floyd and all kinds of stuff. So check them out at if you are interested in that at classicalbumslive.com. And but you know, today's just going to be some Pink Floyd stuff for a minute. Okay, there is the new Pink Floyd set that came out today, and you can find that on Amazon and other places. Neptune Pink Floyd is an online newspaper or news magazine. They are covering it. Lots of people are covering it. And it's the Essential Pink Floyd, I believe that's what it's called. I'm probably forgetting and thinking of another set. Because, you know, one thing that they do, every few years, they put their sets back out again, reissued, remastered. And as much as I love Pink Floyd, I just have to ask the question, how bad was it in the beginning that it has to be fixed? Well, I think it's for the new generation, because every year there's a new generation born that needs to know about Pink Floyd. So that's what's happening in the Pink Floyd world. Now, let me check my schedule. I think I've rambled enough, but we're going to move forward into another song and get ready for Ed Fortune and jweedman.com and get his story. And maybe between now and then I'll get an internet connection here. I'm not sure. But anything that I don't get to today, hopefully I'll be able to get to tomorrow. But don't forget, we are back in the studio tomorrow, 1 to 3 Eastern at WVQC. Now, this is also in honor of NJ Weedman. And it's also from Bob. So don't forget, if you love Bob, this Friday. And here we go. It's Hemp Rock. I'm the Happy Hemptress. We'll be back in a few minutes with Ed Fortune.
Dread not, be dread now. Dread not, conga, bongo, not to dread like in a Babylon. Not to dread. I dread like Congo Bongo. Not to dread. Hey, children, get your culture. I like to dread. And don't stay there and just I like to dread. Or the battle will be hotter. And you won't get no supper. Natty dread, natty dread now. A dread like Congo Bongo. Natty dread like in a Babylon. Natty dread. Roots, natty roots, natty. Natty dread. Then I walk up the first street. And then I walk up the second street to see. Natty dread. Did I tread on through third street? Natty dread. And then 7th Street.
Knotty dread
like dingy bongo high.
Knotty dread
now.
Part of a community group that has something to say? What if you could spread your own message with your own radio station?
Who, us?
Yeah, you.
Well, your chance is now. The Local Community Radio Act passed. As soon as the summer of 2012, community groups and nonprofits will have a one-time chance to apply for a community radio station. Amplify your voice on the airwaves.
Local issues, local media, local control. Visit PrometheusRadio.org/getradio for more information.
WVQC.
Yeah, right.
Radio for the people, by the people.
Roll another.
Hi, I'm Afro Man, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio because you got high. And it's on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC, LP Cincinnati, 95.7, and WVQC.org. Low power to the people.
He really is high, man.
Shoop, shoop, shooby doo ah.
Get jiggy with
it. Infamous Lobes, 7th Dimension. Faster than 5-0-8, search warrant. More powerful than a prosecutor on speed. 2 hits from the bong and he's higher than a DEA helicopter. Up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's the New Jersey weed man, fucking that weed, he's doing his thing. Ain't nobody fooling this man, he too clever for him, man, and it's never gonna change. New Jersey weed man, superhero to his ganja smokers, fighting for the rights of Cypher and Tokum, indicted and choked him every time he battled and spoke him. Politicians getting at him with them government posters, judges were joking, knew the laws refused to uphold him, only made the weed man stronger. He's grew with exposure, abusing these folks every time he plead a proposal. Mary Jane, she ain't bad, she's just a leader to smoke. Rasta religion, roots come from Buffalo soldiers. Now they wanna jail the weed man cause he practices soldiers, taking advantages over. Watch a rapper he blow up. When this thing hit the radio, we gon' smash by soldiers. They gon' learn how to court systems. Imagine that fortune, they took his license and his truck. It cost him a fortune.
Stand up for your right, 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 right.
Up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane. It's the New Jersey weed man, bumping everything, doing his thing. Ain't nobody fooling this man, and it's never gonna change. He's too clever for a man. Look up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane. It's the New Jersey weed man, bumping everything, doing his thing. Ain't nobody fooling this man. He's too clever for a man, and it's never gonna change.
All right. That, of course, if you didn't get it, was the New Jersey Weed Man theme song. And, of course, he is our very, very special guest today. But I have to tell you, I just got the cutting on the throat from our engineer, Rob. Our internet is off, so I'm not going to have anything in front of me, Ed. You're going to have to tell us what your websites are that you want to talk about, because I can't even look at them at the moment. We have no connection. Anyway, I'm the Happy Hemptress. It's Hemp Rock Radio here on WVQC. Hopefully, there is an internet connection out there in the world for the airing of the show and the station. I do believe that is working. It's just our connection in here that we use. Anyway, Ed, are you there?
Oh, yes, I am definitely here.
Awesome.
How are you,
Ben? I'm not too bad. Just do me a favor, make sure you talk into that phone very clearly and keep the mouthpiece next to you like a microphone so we get a good recording on you. You are one of the hardest guys to edit. You always trail off, and then I got to make that louder. So, you know, you just joined us, so I'll tell you real quick what the songs are that you've missed that were not only dedicated to Bob and a local Cincinnati's 12th annual Bob Marley One Love birthday tribute this Friday at Mad Frog here in town, a local club down by the campus, but because you are, of course, a Rasta man as far as I'm concerned. So we kicked off the show with Bob Marley's from the Natty Dread CD, Revolution, and then just played for you the Natty Dread title track, Natty Dread. And so that's in honor of you and your fight for justice, just like Bob's. How's that?
Oh, that sounds great. And, you know, Bob Marley is like a great inspiration to me. I've always taken Bob Marley's songs as sermons.
Yes.
And the number one one that I believe that I've always followed was Get Up, Stand Up, Stand Up for Your Rights.
Absolutely.
You know, I've taken that sermon, you know, to heart. I've always felt like, you know, when I was in the middle of the Civil Disobedience Act or some type of protest, I always think of Bob Marley, and I always think he said, get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. And that's basically all I do, is stand up for myself and for others.
That's right. Yeah, people don't realize that. They, you know, because of the angle that you take in presenting yourself and your case and your beliefs, people sometimes don't take you seriously, when in fact it's probably the most serious of a lot of the things. You know, aside from people like Angel Raich, who, by the way, I'm trying to get a hold of to see if she can join us tomorrow to talk about her Supreme Court cases, the old one and the new one. But, you know, a lot of people don't realize that what you're doing is just as important, because what you can do is set precedent with your case. And it's important to get people to understand jury nullification and things like that. So very quickly, give everybody that hasn't heard your story, if they haven't, they can also go to WEEDRadioNetwork.com and look for any of the NJ Weedman shows and listen to them there from the past. But so very quickly, for those that don't have time for that or haven't, quick rundown in a few minutes of your first case in New Jersey and where that went. I know you did some time, and then what led to the case that you're on right now.
Okay, well, you know, I've been a marijuana activist for a long time. In 1997, I actually got busted and was charged with conspiracy to possess marijuana. And for a couple of years, between the time I got arrested and the time I went to trial, I openly advocated and argued for jury nullification. Argued that you know, a juror should judge their conscience and utilize their conscience as well as judging the law, and they should basically nullify the law with a not guilty verdict. But I tell you, in 2000, when I was in the middle of my trial, basically I got bribed out of my trial, and I accepted the bribe. I accepted the plea of a very lenient sentence in exchange for my guilty plea, and I've always regretted that. So in 2000, after two or three years of arguing that I would never take a plea, I did. And I've always regretted that. And just so happens, not on purpose, but on April 1st, 2010, while visiting New Jersey, I got busted with a pound of marijuana. And I instantly felt like I wasn't the fool on April Fool's Day to arrest me. I felt like the government, the state of New Jersey, was the foolish one, because it gave me the opportunity to once again present my jury nullification arguments to the jury. And so for the last 2 years, I've basically been preparing for this trial. And just so happens, the trial is again set for April 10th, 2012. And for the last 2 years, I've once again been advocating as loudly and as publicly as I can for jury nullification. I've argued to represent myself so that I can speak to the jury myself. I plan on presenting a case that there's nothing wrong with me. I didn't violate anything. That the law itself is what is wrong. The law is flawed. Marijuana itself doesn't fit the description of a Schedule I drug. And as Johnny Cochran said, if it doesn't fit, you've got to acquit.
Now, that's one time that I say that should really be working and used. That time I agree with that assessment.
Well, you know, and I really feel that nowadays, with over 50% of Americans in every opinion poll you can find, say that marijuana should be legal. If that's the case, then I should be able to get at least one, and I'm probably four or five, on my jury that also believe that marijuana should be legal. And if I present a case, the law is wrong, and marijuana should be legal, and, you know, I believe I'll be able to easily get one. In my first case, at the end of the case, when I decided to take the plea, I did ask, the one thing I did was I asked for a stipulation that if I took the deal, that we would poll the jury to see how many jurors I had on my side. And when we took the poll, and the judge was surprised and the prosecution was surprised, but I had four. And I believe that was 11 years ago. Public opinion has really swung our way now as far as the legalizers go. Public opinion has really swayed our way. And I believe I can get more than that. I believe it's that if I'm allowed to present, and that's going to be the biggest argument, me being allowed to present the fact that the law is wrong. But if I'm allowed to present the law is wrong, which I'm going to do it, you know, I believe that I will get several people on my jury that will say not guilty. I've pretty much polluted the jury pool in South Jersey anyway.
Yeah.
For the last 15 years, I've been the face of legalization there, whether people like me or dislike me.
What city is that in?
That's Burlington County. But basically, I've lived in Burlington County and Camden County basically my whole life. And, you know, for years as a very public pro-marijuana activist, you know, all the newspapers have always covered me. I've driven around those areas in my weed mobiles from time to time.
Yeah.
People, you know, I've become a character, you know, a persona, whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
in South Jersey, you know, just on the issue of marijuana legalization. And for the government to put me on trial for a marijuana charge, you know, not even much, it's a 1 pound of marijuana that I had for my personal self. I think the government barked up the wrong tree. I think, like I said, I think it's going to be, the government's going to be made feel like a fool for arresting me on April Fool's Day.
Yeah. Now, remember to keep your mouth close to that telephone. Let me ask you this. You know, we're fighting this medical marijuana thing, which, of course, has its good side and its bad side. I'm curious to know if you or anybody else has thought that not only specifically during a jury nullification presentation, but into compare in the court of law during certain, you know, cases, especially under the medical, that compares to the alcohol prohibition days when they had legal alcohol through medical and religious use. That was your exemption if you could show that your doctor said you should use alcohol. Which, you know, I guess there's some validity to that. It does have some medicinal qualities. And religious, of course, for the sacramental wine, because I don't know of any sacramental whiskey. There is sacramental beer, but I don't know that that was actually in our country. That was more for the wines, I think. But I could be wrong. I didn't live back then. But the Trappist monks, they made the Trappist beer, and that's, you know, liquid bread, as it's known, is what the monks would drink to get nutrition. Absolutely. The Trappist monk beer is called that because the Trappist monks made it. And a lot of the beers started in the monks and the monasteries because they would fast, and the best way to fast is to, you still have to use liquids. And so they would drink really strong, thick beers, and it was considered liquid bread. That was their sustenance. And a sacramental thing as well, because, you know, I don't care what anybody says, there is a level of intoxication that actually can be spiritual for some people. Just don't, you know, go drink so much that you die. you know, there's all kinds of different things that have, for some people, spiritual qualities. And so there is some element of that with alcohol. I'm not going to deny that. So my question then again is there any validity? Do you think that somebody can take those old days that were legal medical and religious exemptions for alcohol and say, where is it any different from marijuana that we know isn't deadly? It is my religious sacrament. It is my medicinal herb. You know, vote jury nullification on that basis alone.
Yeah, well, those are all facts that I will be bringing up in my case, if allowed, especially in my opening statement. In my opening statement, I definitely plan on bringing the three facets of marijuana legalization. Being,
talk better into that telephone, Ed.
Meaning religious, social.
Thank you.
And medical. So I will be bringing all those facts up to my jury. And again, the jury is allowed to judge the law. So if the jury can judge the law and see the law is wrong, the law has some type of flaw, then the jury can say not guilty. And yep. Vote his conscience and say not guilty.
Yep. Keep that telephone close to you. So the best place to say that, you know, because the judge is going to say you can't bring that kind of stuff in as evidence, don't bring it in as evidence. Use it in your closing remarks or opening in your closing remarks.
Right.
And so explain to folks, you know, because a lot of people know, but a lot of people don't know what jury nullification means. We've said a little bit about it, but, you know, there's issues that the judge is going to try to stop you. They try to find people in contempt for even bringing the word in. And there's all kinds of different aspects to that. So take a few minutes and explain the jury nullification process and why it's legal and why it's important to continue to use it in the courts.
Well, the history of jury nullification really goes back even to before America. And a lot of people contributed to William Penn. And what happened was William Penn in England was preaching a Quakerism, which was considered an illegal religion in England at the time, because you had to be a member of the Church of England at the time. But anyway, he was preaching about Quakerism, and he was charged. He was put in jail. But when he went to trial, he argued again that the law was wrong. And his jurors, many of them not being followers of the Church of England also, they found him not guilty. And the prosecutor at the time punished the jury, locked the jury up. Well, eventually, through the star chamber system, but through the English system, the jurors were acquitted. And then there was a law passed that basically said that a jury could not be punished for its verdict. A jury had a right to basically judge the law. And it became part of the old English common law, which when William Penn came to America, when America was formed, it adopted that aspect, which has been interpreted to be our Sixth Amendment, a right to a jury trial, right to a fair trial. And again, in our system, it has been incorporated that a jury cannot be punished. A jury can judge a law. A jury can utilize its conscience to render a verdict. And it all comes down to it equals jury nullification. A jury can judge a law. A jury can find a guilty person not guilty if they want. A jury can do whatever it wants, and there's nothing the prosecution can do about it.
You know,
but what the government has done is tried to squash that right, tried to keep people from knowing that a jury can do that. Very
yeah.
rarely will a judge allow anyone to bring in jury nullification, and there's been all kinds of rules and court rules and even Supreme Court decisions to try to prevent jurors from understanding that they had this right, even though it's still there. It's just people don't inform them. So there's a great group out there, by the way, called the Fully Informed Jury Association.
Yep, FIJA.
Which tries to teach people that they have this right. And you'll get some lawyers and prosecutors, especially, that would argue that jury nullification is anarchy. When me and people like me, we think no, it's just the opposite. It's one of the greatest things that can exist in our democratic
It is. At the moment, in the moment of our time, it is truly the only real balance, because we have no balance with our Supreme Court right now. So, you know, it's not even about whether or not, you know, let's take the fact that the jury can vote its conscience and vote a law null and void because it's wrong. Let's say that's not even part of it. Just the simple fact that a judge at any time in the history of this type of court could say, sorry, jury, you voted wrong. Now you're going to jail. That is ridiculous. You know, they tell you that you have to go on the jury. And then if you vote wrong, that's like, you know, the mafia standing by going, you know, with the guns towards the jury. You're going to vote the way you want, the way we want you to. I don't see any difference. So that in and of itself is the most important part of jury nullification. Just the simple fact that no jury should be charged and thrown in jail for not doing the right verdict. That is just totally backwards from the jury system and corrupt as far as I'm concerned. Then that is more the next important part is if the person again or the jury feels that, okay, yeah, the guy or girl did commit the crime, but it shouldn't be a crime, then they can say not guilty. And that's exactly what he's talking about. So real quick, FIJA, Fully Informed Jury Association at FIJA.org, FIJA.org will teach you about that. And it is important that everybody understands that. And again, the only way that you're going to keep from getting contempt charges from the judge or, you know, something from the prosecutor during a case is to do it either in your opening or closing remarks. Therefore, they can't say anything and they can't find somebody in contempt. And even if you can even do it without saying it's jury nullification. And there's other ways to present it to get the jury to understand that they have that right as the jury and that that is the balance of our laws and how to keep things going. So now let's get to the date. What is that coming up in New Jersey that your next case is or the trial?
The trial is scheduled for April 10th, 2012 in Mount Holly, New Jersey. And for your listeners, I actually moved to California 4 years ago. So I've been living in California. I had a marijuana dispensary for the last 3.5 years. Just recently, I got closed down.
Yeah.
That's a whole other topic for another day.
We had that on the other show, the last show.
Right. But now I have to travel back to New Jersey for this trial. And what I plan to do is leave around March 20th. I'm going to drive my Weedmobile. I want people to go to my website, njweedman.com, and you'll see images of my Weedmobile. But I plan on driving my Weedmobile across the country, a slow trip across I-70, basically, from the West Coast to the East Coast. And what I wanted to do is have little whistle stops, you know, stop in different cities, Las Vegas, Denver, Kansas City, St. Louis,
now is that all
Indianapolis and Cincinnati?
Is that all going to be on I-70?
Basically, I'll dip off a little bit, like I'll drop down to Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to cut straight across the country on 70. I'm going to take my time, pretty much 10 days or so. And what I'll be doing is we'll be like just having little meetings. I'm going to meet and greets with different activists around the country I've met over the years who have followed me or I followed them. I want to constantly be advocating jury nullification. I want to be distributing flyers about jury nullification, about my particular case, meeting the local press in these different areas to inform them about my impending case. In my van, I'm outfitting my van with cameras, so I'm making a documentary at the same time.
Good.
A rudimentary.
You want to have that anyway with that vehicle when you get pulled over every time with the cops. You want to have your cameras going anyway, Ed.
Exactly. I mean, I imagine, you know.
You're going to get pulled over.
Yeah,
you're going to get pulled over.
Now, for the record, we are not carrying any marijuana in there.
No.
None. Zero. I'm going to vacuum it, make sure there's not even a seed.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean that every time I stop somewhere, that I'm hopefully there's going to be some pothead who's going to, you know, help me out and medicate.
Little help from your friends along the way.
Yes, exactly. That's why I have to stop somewhere.
Well,
day.
You know, even if you're going to clean everything out, make sure it's double cleaned, still refuse the search just for the hell of it, right?
Oh, of course. I mean,
and get it documented.
Believe, yeah. Well, that's why I have to record it. And,
yeah.
And I'm definitely going to hand warnings to any officer, like when they ask for our licenses and stuff, I'm going to hand a little piece of paper warning them that this vehicle is an expression of our free speech and political expression, and, you know, does not constitute probable cause for a search. And, you know, I can't physically stop from doing it, but if they do it, I'm just informing them that they will be sued.
No, because all they'll do is look at you and go, well, you look suspicious, sir. We're going to search you anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all they got to do.
That's happened to me before.
Yeah, no Fourth Amendment left.
No, none.
Yeah. Zero. Exercise it anyway. Maybe the muscle will come back in our country after you exercise it long enough, right?
Again, maybe they'd make it to a jury and there'd be a jury there.
That's right.
Someone will feel my pain.
That's right.
You know, like why should I be pulled over every time I expressed it?
Yeah.
You know, an opinion to legalize marijuana.
Now, you did send a link, and I believe I posted the link on my Facebook. It's probably where you are too, but there was a link that you sent out this morning for fundraising, and unfortunately our connection here is dead at the moment here for my internet, and I can't pull that up, so I don't have it in front of me. I'm sure it's on your pages, but what is that site that you're sending people to help with fundraising?
Well, it's a site called Indiegogo. And it's a fundraising site. If you go to that site and just put my name in the search engine, it should pop up my contribution campaign. But I what I'm trying to do is get people to come to my site, njweedman.com, and there will be a link there. There is a link there to it where you can contribute to this trip, to this documentary, and basically to this, I think, history. I believe that I am going to travel across the country. I'm going to meet people. I'm going to get a following up, an internet-based following. And I believe that when I do go to trial, that it's going to help. I believe that the press is going to follow it. And I believe I'm going to win. And the example that I do is going to go back across the country. And those media outlets that have covered the trip, and they're going to show that I was right, that people are ready to start using jury nullification en masse. And hopefully this will encourage, you know, defendants all over the country to utilize the Weedman defense or utilize this jury nullification defense to argue that the law is wrong. And this is how the alcohol prohibition was basically broken.
Yeah.
That people refused to
convict
their neighbor.
Right.
You know? They just refused, you know, no matter what they were caught with, the fellow citizens, the peers, would refuse to convict their fellow citizen of violating a alcohol law when
they
did alcohol.
Yeah,
now let's agree with it.
Now let's assess that for a minute. That is exactly what happened. It happened within 13 years of prohibition of alcohol. So I guess I have to pose the question, what makes our generation today, which does include a couple of different generations, but this time period in our country, why has it taken so long, and how long is it going to take for the citizens of this country to do the same thing that happened during prohibition? Do you think it's because there are worse jail, you know, and sentencing guidelines for marijuana versus what there was for alcohol, that more people are afraid, or is there more propaganda against it, or less pot smokers than there were alcohol drinkers? You know, I can't understand what has taken so long for the citizens of this country to realize that they can do what happened during prohibition of alcohol.
I think there's a combination of a lot of what you just said. You know, for one thing, there's been a lot of propaganda against marijuana. I mean, you know, people thought it was the weed of the witches and the demon weed. And, you know, we all heard about this reefer madness in the 40s and 50s that just turned a generation against marijuana. You know, the 60s generation, I mean, there was, you know, the protest movement of the 60s was blamed on marijuana. You know, marijuana's been lied about, you know, for so long.
Propagandized.
What it actually was, yeah. So,
yeah.
So again, that those all contributed. And then at the same time, jury nullification played a huge role during the alcohol prohibition. And I don't know if you noticed it, but right after alcohol prohibition was ended, they also had court reforms all over the country. And that's where the misdemeanor courts and everything were even developed, where all these misdemeanor courts where there was no jury.
Yeah,
you know, in most places, if you have a small enough amount of marijuana, you don't see a juror anyway. You only see a judge, and this is where it was removed. The jury option for these jury nullification issues were removed. So then they demonize the sellers of marijuana for large amounts, and basically that's what happened. At this point in history, though, I believe that as defendants are charged before superior courts, felony courts, that we are being enlightened about jury nullification, and jury nullification is coming into play again. I mean, if you Google the term jury nullification in marijuana, you will find that there have been several recent cases around the country about jury nullification and marijuana.
Yeah.
I believe my case is getting ready to make a lot of press. That's the purpose of my drive across the country, is to make a lot of press, not just for marijuana. I could just jump on a plane and fly back to my court if I wanted to.
Sure.
But I am dedicated to this cause, and it's not just about me. It's about me helping millions of other people to open their eyes to how we can win this war on drugs.
Right.
I'm hoping some of the bigger reform organizations out there would support this rolling protest.
Yeah, well, I doubt you're going to get that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, listen, let's give real quick again. Ed is leaving on March 20th, right? And headed east towards New Jersey along the way. He's going to hit stops along the way. Go to njweedman.com and get all the information there. Real quick, though, Ed, I want to give a shout out to everybody with the Burn Man just came into the building. How you doing today?
Okay, and how you doing there, Ed?
Oh, I'm doing very well. I'm getting excited about this trip.
Hey, glad to see you when you get up here.
Absolutely.
I can burn one with you.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Burn a bunch of them.
That's right. We'll make sure that we'll take care of you. How's that? But so we're looking at possibly, I think, the 28th, it would be on that Tuesday, to have Ed here live in the studio. If that tour works that out, either way, he will be on traveling through. We're going to keep you up on what's going on. But real quick, while we still have you, you can listen to what Burnman has to say. We got about a minute left before I'm going to roll into another clip for you before we get out of here. How are you feeling, Burnman?
Today I'm doing pretty good.
Feeling pretty good?
Yesterday I was doing pretty good. Day before that, not good at all.
So it's day by day, everything's different.
Yeah.
But hey, if you didn't feel too good Saturday and then yesterday and today you're feeling better, that still says something. We don't know exactly what's working, but obviously something's making you feel better.
Yeah, something is.
Yeah, so I don't know if you heard or have seen anything that we've talked about, Ed, that Chuck here... matter of fact, the week that we lost Gatewood, he was diagnosed, or the week after we lost Gatewood, he was Burnman was diagnosed with fourth stage stomach, esophagus, and lymph node cancer, and he is using the holy medicinal oil and juicing the vegetables that are known to help with cancer, and drops that are like a peroxide combination. They kind of act like peroxide. I can't even explain it, but
tastes like peroxide.
It does end up being a form of peroxide, and what it does is it oxygenates the blood and the cells and alkalines the body, which the theory is that cancer can't survive in that type of a body, and that is Nobel Peace Prize information. So we're trying to save his life. So
good luck to you, and definitely use the cannabis oils. They do help. We know that. Why the government tries to prevent people from knowing that still bothers me. But we know that. It does work.
That's right. Well, listen, I see the next show is about to roll in. That is, of course, Jay Allday with Cincinnati's Conscience. So I'm going to roll this clip up for you, although it isn't reggae. It's, you know it. I'm sure you've heard it. It's Chief Greenbud, and it's the plea for the coast to coast traveling with the Weedmobile. Ed, thank you for... joining us today, and we will see you in about a month or less.
Definitely.
Awesome. And stay on the line. I'm going to go ahead and play this song for you. And it is the Hemptress. He's the Burn Man. And
we're going to go get high.
We're going to go get high because we're out of here. And he's going to be back tomorrow. Susan will be back in the studio. So this goes out for NJ Weedman, Ed Fortune.
There are times when the whole damn town is dry. And the stash you saved for summer didn't make it to July. I know it feels like forever till the harvest's of September. So if you need to catch a buzz, you're welcome anytime. 'Cause a friend with weed is a friend indeed. You don't have to scrape your bowl, smoke on stems and seeds. I'll share my sack, I've got your back. You do the same for me, don't you agree? That a friend with weed is a friend indeed. You'd be surprised how many folks smoke pot. I've known teachers, doctors, lawyers, hell, I even knew one state cop. When they burn their last ones down and their dealers can't be found, you know that they'll call on me, 'cause I'll share what I've got. 'Cause a friend with weed is a friend indeed. You don't have to scrape your bowl or smoke on stems and seeds. I'll share my sack, I got your back. You do the same for me, don't you agree? That a friend with weed is a friend indeed. Yeah, a friend with weed is a friend indeed. That's right.
This has been the Monday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress, the Burn Man, and featuring the Pottsbury Bakery and Hemp Rock Cafe. Hemp Rock Radio airs Mondays and Tuesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern on WBQC-LP. Find Hemp Rock Radio archives at weedradionetwork.com.
Watch Hemp Rock TV on Northern Kentucky's Insight Cable Channel 21, Cincinnati's Time Warner Cable Channel 4 and 24, and now online at weedradionetwork.com.
You can join the Hemp Rockers list at HempRock.com and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP. Please visit CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. That's CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. Hemp Rock Radio, the Pottsbury Bakery, and Hemp Rock Cafe are brought to you by Hemp Rock Productions. Thanks for listening to Hemp Rock Radio and Radio Free Queen City, a member of Media Bridges Community Media Center on 95.7 FM WVQC-LP Cincinnati. WVQC-LP broadcasts from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios. You can listen online, become a member, and support the station at WVQC.org. Coming up next on WBQC-LP is Jay All Day with Cincinnati's Conscience, where hippie meets the hood.
WBQC, people-powered radio.